Radio Prague News. President Václav Klaus has backed Serbia's ambition to join the European Union. The Czech Republic has formally recognized the Libyan National Transitional Council as the only legitimate representative of the Libyan people. And top O9 leader Karel Schwarzenberg has said his party would not give way over the Batora controversy, saying fighting fascist tendencies was a matter of crucial importance. President Václav Klaus has backed Serbia's ambition to start talks on joining the EU as soon as possible. Following talks in Prague with Serbian President Boris Tadic, President Klaus said the EU should find the time for accession talks with Serbia and should approach the Serbs as neutrally as other candidates. Serbia is hoping to win EU candidacy after having arrested the two remaining war crimes fugitives, Ratko Mladic and Goran Hadžić, and handed them over to the UN War Tribunal. President Tadic said his country had done everything possible to meet all EU requirements for accession talks, but he reiterated that it would not recognize Kosovo's independence or withdraw its representatives from northern Kosovo, even if this policy were to block its chances of becoming an EU candidate state. Serbia's adamant position has created a problem with EU members who have recognized Kosovo's independence. President Václav Klaus has been one of Serbia's staunchest supporters, condemning the NATO bombing of Serbia in 1999 and refusing to appoint a Czech ambassador to Kosovo after it declared independence from Serbia in 2008. The Czech Republic has formally recognized the Libyan National Transitional Council as the only legitimate representative of the Libyan people. A statement issued by the Czech Foreign Ministry on Monday says the Czech Republic is ready to forge bilateral relations with the country's new transitional leadership and has offered to assist the country on the road to democracy. The Foreign Ministry is considering the possibility of the Czech ambassador's return to Tripoli. Public Affairs, the junior coalition party, has requested a meeting of coalition leaders on Tuesday to debate social reform. Party leader Radek Jon said there was plenty of fine-tuning left to be done in proposed legislation concerning the social sphere, including the recently approved package of tax amendments. The proposal comes at a time of heightened tension between Public Affairs and Top 09 over the continued presence at the Education Ministry of Ladislav Batora, the controversial head of Human Resources, who has come under fire for his past links to an ultra-right party. Top 09 ministers are refusing to attend cabinet meetings until Mr. Batora has been dismissed. Public Affairs Education Minister Josef Dobes is refusing to do so. Meanwhile, Top 09 leader Karel Schwarzenberg said on Monday that his party would not give way over the Batora scandal and rejected the notion that the controversy was a storm in a teacup during the silly season. Mr. Schwarzenberg said fascist tendencies in society had to be fought and democratic values defended, and he said he considered it of vital importance to take a principled stand on the matter. Two demonstrations, one in support of Ladislav Batora, one against him, are scheduled to coincide with the start of the new school year on September 1st. One demanding his immediate dismissal is organized by the head of the Green Party, Ondrej Liška. The other in defense of Batora's right to freedom of expression by the civic initiative DOST. A poll on the Batora scandal indicates that 57% of Czechs would support his dismissal from office. 44% of respondents, moreover, view him as a racist who should never have been appointed to the post. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. In today's show, in North Bohemia, ethnic tension turns to rallies demanding the expulsion of Romanis. So just how are the authorities planning to solve the crisis? And in one-on-one, Sarah Borovka talks to Czeslav Válek, the human rights campaigner and director of the recent Prague Pride Festival.
What I really liked is that those thousands of people who turned out came with a positive energy, they were smiling, they were nice to each other, they just came to celebrate, and this is exactly what we wanted to do.
That's coming up in One-on-One later, plus our regular Monday sports roundup and a chance to brush up those Czech language skills in soundcheck. All that coming up here on Radio Prague. The Czech Republic is facing heightened ethnic tension between Romanies and the majority population. In parts of northern Bohemia, animosity between the two groups culminated on Friday after two public gatherings, staged allegedly to protest against rising crime levels in the region, turned openly into racist rallies calling on the Romanies to leave town. The government hopes to calm things down by increasing the police presence in the region, but experts warn that more comprehensive action is needed to prevent divisions between the communities widening even further. Jan Richter has more.
Hundreds of people shouting "Get a job" and "Czechs and Czechs" and other slogans as they marched on Friday through parts of the northern Bohemian town of Rumburk, mostly inhabited by Romanis. The improvised rally against Romanis took place after around 1,500 people gathered in the town square to protest what they called rising crime levels, but what was in reality a protest against a series of attacks by Romanis on ethnic Czechs. The police have since charged 10 people who took part in the attacks with racially motivated violence, and the government has sent in a special riot police unit. But these measures have failed to ease the tensions between Romanis and ethnic Czechs in the poor regions of northern Bohemia and other parts in the country. Sociologist Ivan Gabal is highly critical.
It follows basically the deep change in the ethnic policy of Czech government. This government decided not to continue to integrate Roma minority and overcome social exclusion, abolished position of the minister and ministry for human rights, declined significantly all effort in areas like education, and consequently in 1 year we entered period of ethnic tensions.
The most sensitive regions, such as northern Bohemia, northern Moravia and others, suffer from high unemployment that makes it even more difficult for Romanis to find jobs. There was also speculation that many Romanis have been relocated to these regions by real estate firms, which apparently buy their homes and force them to move to cheaper properties located in these poor regions, cashing in on state subsidies for social housing in the process. Mr. Gabal says there is now a new generation of Romanis who only experienced life in ghettos, who have only gone to special schools, and who feel nothing positive towards Czech society.
We can expect that these young boys and girls are not just positively valued, positive values orientated toward majority of society, quite opposite. And I think that if the Czech Education Ministry in this situation continues to refuse inclusive educational schemes on elementary schooling levels, then, I mean, Czech society and Czech state has a really big problem.
The reaction of Czech authorities to what is happening in North Bohemia has been rather muted, according to critics. No high-ranking officials were present in Rumburk and other places where anti-Romani rallies were held. The Czech government has an agency to help cities and towns improve the condition in socially excluded communities, mostly inhabited by Romanis. Its director, Martin Šimáček, says the government does pay attention to the situation, but he also believes it's difficult to help in places such as Rumburk, where local politicians are reluctant to work with them.
Let's say half of the mayors in a place or in a region who cooperate or started to cooperate with us 2 years ago, and the situation in their cities, I mean, for example, Krásná Lípa or Varnsdorf, is much better than the situation in other cities where the cooperation with mayors is worse. I mean, for example, in Rumburk, where the situation is the worst.
However, most experts suggest the government has to readopt inclusive strategies in education and other areas before problems between Romanis and other Czechs escalate in other regions as well.
Jan Rixer there with that report about heightening ethnic tensions in northern Bohemia. And it brings us up to sport here on Radio Prague. And this is Jan Wellinger with some rather disappointing news about Roman Chevalier at the World Athletics Championships.
We begin first with athletics and the championships underway in South Korea. Decathlete Roman Chebrele finished 13th at the World Championships in Daegu with 8,069 points, while American Trey Hardy retained the title with 8,607 points. The finish was the second worst of Chebrele's career after Seville in 1999, where he failed to finish. The 36-year-old Olympic gold medal holder had been hoping for at least 8,200 points in order to participate in the 2012 Olympics. Chebrele may still have an opportunity to qualify next year, Lidové Noviny reported, saying the Czech Athletics Association could lower the cutoff mark to 8,000. Elsewhere in the championships, pole vaulter Jitina Ptáčníková advanced to the final round with a successful 455-centimeter jump on the first attempt. Afterwards, here's what she had to say.
For me, it's a reward for a pretty difficult season, and it is more than I expected. I think my coaches will be very relieved. I'm completely satisfied with the result.
Jan Kudlička also advanced from the final qualification spot and competes on Monday. The result of his final, though, was not known before the taping of this program. Turning to other sports, judo wrestler Lukáš Krpálek has won the bronze medal at the World Championships in Paris. Krpálek defeated Belgian Elko van der Geest in the men's 100-kilogram category, thereby winning a place in the world top 10 list. The medal marks the biggest success for a Czech judoka since 1999, when Michaela Wernerová also took third place in the women's competition. The last victory for a Czech in the men's competition was exactly 20 years ago, when Jiří Sosna won the bronze for Czechoslovakia. Turning to football, Jablonec downed České Budějovice by a score of 5-1 at the weekend, the second game in a row that the South Bohemian team failed to earn a single point. Key in the Jablonec victory was a hat-trick by David Lafata. The hat-trick was also his second in a row. In other action, Viktoria Žižkov tied 2-2 with Olomouc, Příbram edged Hradec Králové 1-0, and Teplice beat Liberec 2-0. Bohemians 1905 beat Ostrava 1-0 and are currently second in the standings behind league leaders Sparta Prague. Later on Monday, Sparta will play defending champions Plzeň. Further abroad in football, in the English Premier League, Arsenal, home to Czech striker and national squad captain Tomáš Rosický, were destroyed 8-2 by Manchester United at the weekend. Rosický set up the ball for Walcott to score in the first half and make the score 3-1. But otherwise, there's no question this is a match that he and fellow teammates will want to forget. That sentiment was echoed by coach Arsene Wenger, who made clear the team played terribly, both on offense and defense, saying there was no point in making excuses. That's all the sport for today.
Jan Wellinger with Monday's Sport. Don't forget, you're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. And it's time now for our interview programme, One-on-One. And in the light of the recent Prague Pride Festival, Sarah Borůvka talks to the civil rights lawyer and Pride organiser, Česlav Válek.
Česlav Válek, lawyer by profession, has been in the media a lot in recent weeks due to his role as the director of the Prague Pride Festival. Previously, he has held government offices such as director of the Office of the Council for Roma Affairs. He has lived in both Krakow and Budapest and is a member of the Czech Republic's Polish minority. I spoke to him about his work, human rights, and how he feels the first Prague Pride Festival went.
The festival went exceptionally well, not only Saturday, which was the highlight, but whole 5 days. Events were massively visited, and I think this is what we wanted to achieve. Of course, Saturday, march, parade, and the concert was an absolute highlight, and we didn't expect that so many people will turn out. But what I really liked is that those thousands of people who turned out came with a positive energy. They were smiling, they were nice to each other, they just came to celebrate, and this is exactly what we wanted to do.
And you were the chairman of the board of organizers. Can you tell me a bit about how your involvement with Prague Pride started and then maybe how much work it was to put this big festival together?
It actually was an accident that I became chairman of the board. My involvement with Prague Pride started, I think, in autumn last year when I was contacted by a few people asking me to write a bylaw of the organization, and I came for several meetings offering my help in communication with police and with the government, because this is what I've done before. And somehow in January, everybody knew that I'll be leaving the office, the governmental office, and we were searching for the coordinator, because without it, it wouldn't make sense. And they all screamed, Czesław, you have to do it. You will be jobless. So I said, okay, well, let's try for a month or something. We tried and nobody else wanted to do it. So I was stuck with the job till the end.
And you mentioned already that you worked in the government before this. You worked as the director of the Office of the Council for Roma Affairs. Can you tell me a bit about your work there?
I started in the government as the director of the office, but last 2 years I was deputy minister for human rights, and then when the government didn't have a minister, I was basically replacing the human rights commissioner. But, well, it was 8 years ago when I started as a director of the Office for Roma Community Affairs. It was basically a job concentrated on Roma, on the policies that the government should create or created on Roma and its development, its implementation and its monitoring.
And you already mentioned also that you then served as a deputy to the Human Rights Commissioner and up through his resignation, and then later took over the portfolio. How did you experience this time, and how did you feel about the whole period of the resignation of Mr. Kotsap?
I entered the office in March, so basically 2 months before the first government that we worked with collapsed. And although, like, for me those 2 years were incredibly interesting and I learned a lot, and I think that we achieved actually a lot, I have to say that this unstable political environment that we lived in wasn't really very favorable for long-term work. Because, like, as I said, I entered the office in March. In May, we knew that the government is falling, so we were rushing with some documents to be finalized by May because we didn't know what will happen next. Then there was a new government, the Kotsap State, as a minister for human rights. But there was, like, the Green Party was pushing him for resignation at one moment, so he had to resign. And it was, again, 5 months of work and, again, like, collapse. And then he became a commissioner, but soon after the government changed and Premier Nečas called him off. So it was very politically unstable situation. On the other hand, we managed to achieve a lot in terms for human rights in this country, and I'm happy for this experience.
What do you feel, in which area were the biggest achievement of that ministry and then later commission or portfolio?
There were two areas that we concentrated the most. In legal sphere, it was laws that regulate functioning of NGOs. We passed through two amendments of a law on foundations and amendments on a law on public benefit organizations. But also we prepared law that will, once passed, will be a breakthrough in this NGO sector, which is law on public benefit status. In the other area where I think we did a lot is a Roma minority. Also because at that time this racist attacks were in the highest, and together with Premier Fischer there was a mood or environment that the government really struck the right extreme with the biggest strength I've ever seen. So we did Leti and Hodonin, which are the former concentration camps for Roma. We, after 20 years, we managed to find money for reconstruction of those places, and for creating some kind of dignified place of memory. But also the second thing which I'm really proud of is that finally the government apologized for the unlawful sterilization of Roma women, which was going on in the past.
And by profession, I believe you're a lawyer, and I was going to ask you, where did you study law, and did you specialize in a certain area of law?
Yeah, I studied law in Krakow because I am Polish minority living in Czech, but and the Polish government is offering the stipends to minorities. So I studied in Krakow, but from beginning I knew that I want to be a classic lawyer in the court, but I would like to concentrate more on legislation and human rights. So third year of studies I concentrated on international law and human rights more specifically. And then I continued with the human rights at the Budapest Central European University, where I studied human rights specifically.
And you have lived in Krakow, you've also studied in Budapest, so you know the region quite well. How would you say, how does tolerance towards same-sex couples in the Czech Republic compare to, say, Poland or Budapest, or Hungary, rather? And would you say religion plays a factor or plays a role in the acceptance of LGBT individuals?
Yeah, definitely. When I was in Krakow, it was 93 till 99. At that time, there was one gay club in Krakow. And Krakow is considerably liberal city, although like all Catholic institutions are based there. But like in terms of culture, I think that people who are living in Krakow are considered to be liberal, but still towards the LGBT minority. At that time, when I was studying there, it wasn't so open. I know that right now there are more clubs, there is more life, but at that time it wasn't so open. Also, I remember that the first parade that was taking place in Krakow was pretty violent. In Budapest, on the other hand, when I was there, it was very open. It was 2000, so it was very open. I participated in the first parade there. It was absolutely without problems. So that's why I'm like shocked what's going on in Hungary right now. When you look at the last parade, which we were caged as an animals during the whole route because of those right-wing parties and people. And I always thought that Budapest is very open, very liberal city, more like a Prague, you know. And I really, this year when I participated at the parade, I was really surprised how it went, negatively surprised how it went.
And lastly, Prague Pride has just wrapped up, and I was going to ask you, what are your plans now, work-wise, for after the festival?
Well, we're going to Spain for 4 months. I got a stipend to study Spanish, to work there, to study the social policies there. So we're going to Spain for some time, and we'll see afterwards. I would like to continue with Prague Pride, maybe not as a coordinator, but as some kind of team member. And we'll see, maybe I'll stay in Spain.
And do you think Prague Pride will become a regular annual event in the city?
Yeah, I'm sure. I think that many understood that this has incredible potential. And it's not only about people who are organizing it, but it's mainly about people, clubs, organizations. That saw how many people can come. And for many, it brought a business of a year, you know. And I'm pretty sure that many of those clubs who see business behind it will be willing to participate in it. And I think that the biggest role right now of the team would be to keep this balance between human rights and business, so it will not become only purely commercial.
One-on-one this week, and Sarah Barufka's guest was Czeslaw Válek, the human rights lawyer. You're listening to Radio Prague. It's time now for Sound Check, more useful tips about the Czech language. And this week, it is hosted by Daniela Lazarová.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, our Czech language course in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by the group Chinaski. It's called 1970, and the phrase to listen out for is Jaký pán, takovej krám. The Czech phrase Jaký pán, takovej krám means a shop is like its master, and it is something akin to the English phrase like master, like servant. If you consider that the song is called 1970 and the lyrics describe the so-called normalization era when hardline communists regained their grip on power in then Czechoslovakia, it is not hard to figure out what the phrase refers to. The master is the communist leadership under then-president Gustav Husák, and the shop is the entire country. Chinaski sing We Are Husák's Children, a phrase still used when referring to the 70s generation. The refrain goes, My parents always taught me, don't put out a fire that's not burning you, watch things from a distance, and never fight lone battles. Some of the cautious lessons of the hardline 70s. And of course, summing it all up is the phrase, Jaký pán, takový krám. There are, of course, a number of other sayings used when you want to draw a comparison of some sort. We also have the saying, like mother, like daughter. Early in Czech, the phrase is jaká matka, taká katka. A girl's name, Kathy, is used in place of daughter, purely for the purpose of getting the phrase to rhyme. Katka is one of the most common girls' names in this country. You can also say jablko nepadlo daleko od stromu, which means an apple never falls far from the tree, or jsou si podobní jako vejce vejci, which is the equivalent of they are like two peas in a pod, but in Czech you refer to the similarity of eggs. They are jeden jako druhý, or one like the other. Well, and that brings us to the end of today's lesson. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
Soundcheck there with Daniela Lazarová and the strains of Chinaski and North Bohemian Band, rounding off a rather North Bohemian theme to today's Radio Prague programme. Now, please don't forget that you can find more information about our shows and also, of course, the Czech Republic if you go online. The address once more is www.radio.cz. There are 6 language services there. English is, of course, just one of them. Lots of information about the country. You can also contact us to send us any comments or tips, indeed, about our shows. Please do go online. That's, as I said, it for us here on Radio Prague. So for myself, Peter Smith, on a sunny and breezy day here in Prague. Until next time, bye-bye.